Ravi Zacharias has been exposed post-mortem for his sexual misconduct. And as we head into the new year, what are some ways that we can make sure we envelop ourselves in the Word of God? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, I want to tell you guys, I am so happy for the new year. And if you're listening right now, this is New Year's Day, which means you have the day off, but you've probably been inside anyways. But nonetheless, I'm excited that hopefully you guys can dig in with me today. I really want to talk about, even though I have to talk about something that is disheartening, saddening, I think righteously angering when it comes to what we're going to talk about. But I actually want to lift up first just the Word of God, and I want to talk about that. And I think that there's an overarching theme when it comes to what took place and what we're going to talk about, and also how we keep ourselves from these landmines, how we keep ourselves from the sin that can so easily entangle us, some ways that we can set up for ourselves and build a bunker around with the Word of God around us, guarding us and guarding our hearts. And so I want to talk a lot about that, more so than the quote-unquote exposing of what Mr. Ravi Zacharias did. And as I try to do, I want to kind of show you my human side, so to speak, in the sense that I'm not somebody who never listened to Ravi and never heard a teaching from his or anything like that when it comes to talking about him being exposed as seemingly a sexual predator. But I'm someone that when I first came to Christ, coming out of atheism, I began listening to Ravi Zacharias. In fact, I think he was one of the first people that I clicked on as an apologist because his videos had more views, so they were at the top of every list. So I would listen to him a lot when I first came to Christ, I especially that first probably 6 months to a year, because I was out sharing the gospel, and this guy seemed like he was out on the square, basically able to share. When people would come and ask him questions on the mic, he seemed to have an answer for everything. He seemed confident in every answer, and I was like, man, this guy really has it going. This guy knows exactly what he wants to say. I remember hearing his testimony coming out of India, dealing with suicidal thoughts, because India is, I believe, last time I checked, I believe it's one of the most common places, or at least in terms of volume of suicide rate, but I don't know about in terms of actually the number of people versus suicide. But nonetheless, I know that in India, suicide is a major, 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 major issue. And so I remember listening to his testimony, how he wanted to commit suicide, and then, you know, he came to Christ. I remember hearing a lot of his answers to a lot of different questions and thinking, wow, even his theodicy, his answer for the problem of evil seemed good. There was a lot of stuff that I was growing in my apologetics, so I was wanting to get the best answers I could possibly have so that when I was out on the streets, I at least somewhat knew what I was talking about. And so I like to tell people, go, if you don't know where to start in terms of learning what the Bible says or where you should go, I would say if you want to just microwave your faith, go out and share the gospel, because you'll be asked questions you don't know the answer to, and guess what? You're going to have to go figure it out. And so it's really, really good, especially if you have brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we talk about the new year, before I get into that, I guess, even though I've already been somewhat into it, as we talk about the new year, something I've been doing with my discipleship group that I teach is we have a few things. I'm not going to give you all of them because those are for our group specifically. But in the discipleship group that I'm training, one of the things I told them to do is to get for themselves a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in their life. somebody who they can learn from. Hopefully it's a discipleship group that I'm leading, so I can kind of be somewhat of the Paul there. They can get someone that they can learn under. They can get someone that's on their level, they can go back and forth with, that they can learn how to also have disagreements, that they can learn how to be like, hey, I don't really see that from this text, or I don't see that. And it's not a place where they explode and hate each other. I think that's one of the biggest problems, and it almost seems like academia has a lot to do with it. But one of the biggest problems is when people have disagreements, a lot of times, instead of just going forward in that disagreement and saying, well, I just don't really see it that way, or hey, I have come to the logical conclusion that this is wrong, or whatever it may be, a lot of times people just simply don't know how to disagree without being angry at one another. And that's not really where what we find in Scripture. That's not how we're supposed to be. When we have disagreements and disputes among us, we're supposed to work it out. And the goal for the believer is to be one of a peacemaker. And so that should be the goal on both sides. And when both people are acting biblically, even when there are disagreements, there's growth that will take place. And so that's what we want as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you find someone who's at your level, find someone that is typically at the same region that you are in terms of your learning process in the Word of God, because you already have someone, hopefully, that's overseeing you as somewhat of an elder statesman in the Word of God. And then have someone in your life that's a Timothy, someone that you're training up in the way they should go, someone that you're training up in the way they're bent, someone that you are training up in the Word of God, and you're saying, hey, maybe it's a new convert. Maybe it's somebody that's just coming to Christ. You can't have a Timothy that's not yet saved. I think that's for another thing about sharing the gospel. But I think getting someone, maybe that's a new convert, that you can grow in the truth. And I think that all three of these things, every one of those levels brings accountability to us. And that's why I'm going to tie this in. Being accountable one to another, I believe that one of the benefits of being in the body of Christ, one of the major benefits, is having brothers and sisters in Christ around you that will hold you accountable to the Word of God, that will hold you accountable to sin and that you may be falling into. In fact, that's one of the jobs of a believer over and over again. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 14 is very clear that we see to it that none of our brethren have a sinful, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And it talks about that they're carried away by the deceitfulness of sin. And I think that you who are spiritual, you want to restore a brother in a spirit of gentleness, as it says in Galatians chapter 6. And one of the ways to do that also is to recognize the sin that they are falling into, recognize the landmines they might be stepping on. You say, hey, brother, or hey, sister, I see that this is happening. I notice that, you know, your tone of voice is a little different. I notice that you've been angry lately, or is there something going on? And keep bringing it up. It may stink. It's not fun. Confrontation is not fun, but it's biblical in a loving manner. And so we go and we say that. We say, hey, I was driving by, I saw your car in a place it probably shouldn't have been. You know what I mean? Hey, I was out to dinner with the family and I saw you sitting at that bar. You know, something like that. Hey, are you getting drunk? You know, somewhere you can hold someone accountable and say, hey, this is not good. And I think that whether that is having a Timothy in your life that you're training and you are recognizing, wait a second, I don't want to be the person that causes this young one to stumble. The Bible says it's better to have a millstone thrown around my neck and thrown in the middle of the ocean. And you have that accountability level brought to you. Then you have also the one who's Barnabas. And I can tell you this, if you're debating with someone, the last thing you want to do is fall into sin. You'd be pretty embarrassed to be debating with somebody and also to be losing simply because you are falling into sin. But somebody on your level that you can call someone out, they can call you out, and you guys aren't going to be angry at each other. But then having also that Paul in your life, that guy who oversees you. So when you do step out of bounds, you know that his place is to call you out and you respect him enough to do that. And I believe all three of these safeguard, and also we're going to talk about safeguarding with the Word of God, would have been advantageous for Mr. Rabbi Zacharias, Dr. Rabbi Zacharias, because I'm going to read through what his ministry now has. Mind you, this is all post-mortem after he has passed away. Rabbi Zacharias died not too long ago, but a investigation still had to be done because of multiple allegations that were made. And some of the things that have come out are pretty sad, but I'm just going to read their allegations, or this is their investigation. This is from Rabbi Zacharias International Ministries, and this is from December 23rd. In August 2020, allegations of sexual misconduct were made against our founder, Ravi Zacharias. Unfortunately, Ravi had died several months before we first learned of these allegations, so we were unable to explore them with him directly. We engaged Miller and Martin PLLC to investigate these allegations while also giving them wide latitude to go wherever their investigation might lead them. We have also repeatedly stated our intention not to comment on the investigation until receiving a final report on it. However, while the investigation remains ongoing and is not expected to be completed until January or February, yesterday we received a brief interim update on the investigation we felt we needed to share. Sadly, the interim investigation update indicates the assessment of Ravi's behavior to be true, that he did engage in sexual misconduct. The misconduct is deeply troubling and wholly inconsistent with the man Ravi Zacharias presented both publicly and privately to so many over more than four decades of public ministry. We are heartbroken at learning this, but feel it necessary to be transparent and to inform our staff, donors, and supporters at this time, even while the investigation continues. We will speak more comprehensively to all concerned after the completion of the investigation. We are devastated for those who have suffered from Ravi's misconduct and for the pain they are enduring. They have asked for confidentiality and to be anonymous, and both we and the investigators are committed to honoring their wishes. This preliminary statement is not intended to cut short the investigation or predict its full outcome. We want to ensure the investigators have appropriate time and space to complete their work and allow those who may still desire to have a voice in this process to do so. We ask for continued patience as we complete a lengthy process of investigating serious allegations. I'm not going to finish up. They say the Lord remains our principal hope for healing and restoration. That should be true. And it was written by the executive committee of RZIM Board of Directors. Now, you can actually click and see the interim report. And this is just the very beginning, as I said. These are things that are very, very serious. And I've said this on this show before, and I'll say it again. I would say that now it's to the 100%. To the 100%, usually when there's smoke, there's fire. Now, Tony could vouch for this because he was there when we first sat down. Before we started the Good Fight Radio Network, Tony and I and Doug and Joe sat down and we all came out, hey, who are some of the teachers that we like, that we listen to, that we'd like on this network? And we brought out, I don't know, 40 names or something. These are some of the teachers that we really enjoy. One, would we be able to get them? And number two, do we all agree? And I remember when Ravi was brought up, I said, hey, let's do a pause on that. Now, there's a couple reasons, but I want to get to the story with Joe later because it's pertinent to what I really want to talk about on this episode. But one of the things that I had noticed was, I believe it was Pulpit and Pen at the time, who had done a report covering, once again, some misconduct with Ravi. And I believe he was counseling a woman and eventually started writing her back very romantic things. She was married, and she finally, I guess he was actually blackmailed on this one, ended up having to pay her some money to keep him quiet, to some degree, at least that's what he alleges, and so forth. And so that was brought out. Ravi Zacharias actually talked about that. That was the first thing where he made a statement about that, that there was some inappropriate, but there was never any sexual misconduct, but there was some inappropriate feelings that took place and so forth. So this was obviously an issue. And I said, hey, with that kind of up in the air, there was another reporter out in Toronto who came out and said that she was impregnated by, I believe, Ravi Zacharias' brother while he was, I think, a youth pastor, if I'm remembering correctly. And he told her to have an abortion. Now, I don't know the full extent on either of those things, whether or not they're true. But I know that at that time I said, hey, this is too much smoke for him to be on our network. And that is when Joe also stepped in and said, I actually did a teaching a number of years ago on Ravi Zacharias because Ravi Zacharias agreed to not use the name of Jesus in prayer. And he also spoke at the Mormon Tabernacle. So there were two different events that took place that Joe said, I could not endorse him whatsoever. And so it was something that I recognized right away. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So we all said, yeah, unanimous, no, Ravi won't be on the network. And it's very interesting because Ravi was someone who went on both sides of the spectrum, where you would see him with the hardcore Calvinist sitting right next to the likes of R.C. Sproul in open discussions, and he would also go on shows like Joyce Meyer, right? And so you're like, what is up with this guy being able to transcend the genres, so to speak? And I always found that was interesting. He called her a great Bible teacher, where we would call her a heretic. And so I thought that was interesting. I think that was my first big, like, well, that's done. I'm not listening to him at all. But actually what took place is something that I think this should hopefully be a warning to anyone who's all believers. And I think with the new year here, I want to try to give you guys some ways, once again, to not have these things befallen you, to not have these ways and have your steps go in the wrong direction. And I do believe that the Word of God gives us specific instructions on how to make sure that doesn't take place the best we possibly can through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I, as I said, used to listen to Ravi a lot. In fact, I believe he had a radio show locally on Sunday mornings. So when I would leave my house to go pick up my girlfriend, who is now my wife, I would hear his broadcast and I would listen and listen. And so I remember this is when my now wife and mother of my four children, Holly, and I were just courting. I remember saying to Joe, I said, "Hey, Joe, I've been listening to this guy, Ravi Zacharias. What do you think about him?" And he said, "Well, he's got a lot of good stuff. If you just listen to him, he's got a lot of good answers to questions. But here's my issues." And he's like, "And if you know Joe at all, as I'm sure if you guys have come alongside us, whether on Patreon or so forth, or here just listening to the shows, you guys get to know Joe pretty well. But it doesn't matter who the teacher is. He will always give you his caveats of things. He's like, hey, well, there's this. Even if he loves the guy and it's one of his favorite teachers, he'd be like, well, I love him, but he says this here and I just don't agree. Okay, cool. Not that he writes them off because of that, but this was a situation where I could tell, and this is me just getting to know Joe more on a personal level. We had done some ministry together in terms of sharing the gospel, and he had been discipling me for about 2 years at the time. But I remember, you know, asking about Ravi Zacharias, and the answer was, the first thing he warned about was the speaking at the Mormon Tabernacle, which he said, hey, some people heard him speak and said, well, he actually did a great job in what he spoke. He's like, I disagree in going in there without literally specifically naming the heretics that they are and sharing the gospel with them in love, but also in truth. But nonetheless, he's like, there's are people that argue, but he said when he agreed to do that prayer, and specifically before he went to do the prayer, said, hey, I'm not going to I'll agree to not say the name of Jesus in my prayer. That is where he said, nope, that this is something serious to deny the name of Jesus in your prayer life. You literally are taking away and relinquishing the power of your prayers. You're not doing it in the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus. Stop in the name of the law, right? You know, praying in the name of Jesus, then your prayer is useless and you're denying him. But he said, my biggest issue also with him is not only that, but he's like, if you listen to him long enough, you'll notice you don't hear a lot of the Word of God. You'll hear it, but you won't hear a lot of it. He's like, I'm not, you know, and Joe was like, I don't want to put this out on someone and be like, oh, this guy doesn't use the Word of God enough. But to me, when I'm listening to a teacher, I want to hear the Word of God. And that right there, that was more, to me personally, was more important to me, that statement, than the other things previous to, why am I listening to someone that is not just enamoring me with the Word of God, just throwing it at me as much as he possibly can, like a bazooka, all right? Here's the thing. We have, and I think about this a lot, and you guys know if you listen to this show, I will quote early church fathers, right? I will quote from different philosophical camps and so forth. I have no problem doing that. I don't mind testing everything and holding fast to that, which is good. That's what the scriptures say to do. But I hope and pray that what you hear from me is the Word of God. That when you listen to 511 News, when you listen to Good Fight Radio Show, when you hear me teach on a Blessed Hope Chapel sermon or whatever it is, or if you meet me on the streets, that what you get from me is the Word of God. Because I just cannot imagine, the more and more I think about it, spending my years here on this earth just completely enamored with any other thing than the Word of God. Spending all of my time studying something that is not the Word of God. I could not imagine going off unless, you know, it's different if you're like, hey, this is my job. I have to do these things. So I have, and I totally understand that, you know, hey, Paul was a tent maker. He had plenty of time for theology. I get all that. But when it comes to my study time, trying to make sure that what I am studying, what I am 100% wrapping myself up in is the Word of God. It is theanoustos. It is God-breathed. Why would my answers always be something that do not contain the Word of God? Why would my answers to life's questions not be found in Holy Writ? How on earth can I share the truth of God with people? And how can I share the gospel? And how can I give sermons? And how can I do these things using words that come back void when God has offered me something that does not come back void? I will not do it. If I'm choosing what to study, I'm going to choose to study the Word of God. This is theanoustos. This is God-breathed. This is more sure. Do you? I don't care if I quote it every show. The Word of God is more sure than God speaking from the clouds. That's what the Word of God says. How do we make sure we don't fall into the pitfalls of Mr. Ravi Zacharias? One, I would say let's not get puffed up and driven around in limos. That would probably help. In fact, I was reading a tweet from somebody who had spoken at a conference with him, and he said, you know, one of the things, and I'm paraphrasing here, and I saw this immediately after the investigation was opened up and explained Ravi Zacharias Ministries, explaining that yes, indeed there is some foul play here. And he was talking about how he spoke at a conference with him, and he said, hey, you know, when he came in a limo and came with his security, walked on the stage. Of course, he got a standing ovation, and rightfully so. He's a great speaker. And he said there was something that just didn't sit right with him, and that, you know what, how do we expect to be esteemed to a higher level than when the God of the universe became a man in the person of Jesus Christ? How do we expect to have greater esteem in this life than he did? I think that's a great point. Why should we expect to be esteemed higher by the world even, let alone believers, lifting people up into these roles as if they are popish, you know? And so that's something that kind of stuck with me, but so I think obviously not being puffed up, living a humble life, those kind of things, living in contentment would be absolutely huge to have those safeguards. And I think if you had a Paul and a Barnabas and a Timothy in your life, I think they all would be able to, one, holding you accountable simply because you believe that they are watching your example and you need to lead by example. The other ones, because you recognize one could be able to call, both of them should be able to call you out in a way, and having those people in your life, they say, hey, Ravi, you're visiting massage parlors a little too much. Ravi, you probably shouldn't buy and purchase one either. Noticing those things and calling them out in love. I'm only saying this out of, I love for you guys, for those who listen to this show, I love you and I don't want you to fall into these things. When you notice that somebody, when they're wearing fellowship, is on their phone all day, and when you notice that the only things that they bring up are things that have nothing to do with the Word of God, things that, you know, if you hang out with brothers in Christ, you call it fellowshipping, and the only thing you talk about is sports, or the only thing you talk about is this or that and the other, cars, whatever it is, and the Word of God, it never comes back to the Word of God. And guys, there's always ways to bring it back to the Word of God. There's always ways to do it. You should say, why? Why is this? And here are some of the biblical safeguards that God has given us, specifically in the Word of God. Psalm 119, I quote it all the time, but I'll quote it again. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. I have treasured your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Guys, there it is. It's a new year. Guess what you should be doing? Set out a plan. Let the Lord direct your steps. Set out a plan of how you're going to read the Word of God every single day without fail. If you do not forget to eat, you should not forget to read the Word of God. Jesus was very clear in Matthew 4:4, that man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Job was very clear in Job 23:12, that he esteemed God's word as greater, higher than his necessary food. How do we keep our ways pure? by keeping it according to God's word. When we go back to his word, we go back to his commandments, we recognize they are not burdensome. We recognize that they are for our betterment. We recognize when we go back to the word of God, they breathe back into us. And guess what? The more you read the word of God, guess what your speech will be filled with? Guess what your heart will be filled with? The word of God. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when I speak, if I speak with nothing that has to do with the word of God, and all I give you is vain philosophy, then guess what? Where am I going with it? I need to have every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Therefore, whatever philosophy, whatever school of thought that I have, it needs to be ingratiated and understood through the lenses of God's word. If I'm not doing that, I'm setting myself up for failure. You have to ask yourself, if you're a man, you're a young man, how about that? Do you know more about your fantasy football team or basketball team and the current state of the NBA and the NFL and the MLB? Have you read more news articles this week from there than the Word of God? Do you not find time for the Word of God, but you find times for other things? When you talk to your friends, do you not have an answer biblically? Then go get one. We need to be able to do this. Psalm 1, and I'll read it in the full text. How blessed are the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of scoffers, nor sit in the seat or in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. The contrast. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates on it day and night. Not hanging out with a bunch of wicked people. Paul quoted a secular pagan poet. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Do you know why he said do not be deceived? Because people are deceived. And so they keep the company. And guys, I think that in this day and age, keeping the company is not simply like, oh, here's my friends. But maybe it's the music you listen to and meditate on. Maybe it's the Twitter tweets tweeting all over the place. Maybe it's the TikTok stuff you watch. Maybe it's The Bachelor that you watch. Man, what a prostitution ring, pretty much, right? I mean, just absolute nonsense. Let's have 40 dudes and one girl, or 40 girls and one dude, and they all just make out with each other, and we're all just watch it, and I wonder who wins. Guys, why don't we meditate on the word of God? Why are we sitting in the seat of scoffers, standing in the path of sinners? No, the contrast is what we want. What is the contrast? Delight in the law of the Lord, and on his word, we meditate on it day and night. What will happen to the man who meditates on God's word day and night? He'll be like the tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. But the wicked, those who do not meditate on the words of God, those who sit in the seat of scoffers, those who stand in the path of sinners, the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff. They're like the bark, which the wind drives away. You think about that. You have streams of living water. You have streams of water going across the tree, and that plants it even the more firmly. But just when the wind comes, like chaff, they're blown off. Guys, this is really, really important. And I wanted to just go back to one verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, because what it says is, let the word of Christ dwell richly, richly dwell within you. Let it be abundantly within you. I want to look at that word richly. And here's some of the other verses where it's used. 1 Timothy 6, 17 talks about God who richly supplies, richly given. In Titus 3, 6, he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, or abundantly. In 2 Peter 1, 11, Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Guys, this is an abundance. This is richly. God is supplying it to us. We want the word of Christ dwelling richly in us. I'm telling you this right now. It's a New Year's Day. How about today? And I'm going to encourage you guys. Maybe you're a fast reader like I am. I try to do the Bible in 90 days, four times a year. It's about 16 or so chapters, I think, the first day. And it's not that bad. Trust me. I bet you most of you have probably watched sports or videos or movies for longer. All right? Daily. All right? Try doing that. And if you can't do that, try to do the year one. And guess what? People say, oh yeah, but people fall and then they end up. So what? At least you got that far. And then start again. One falls, let him bring him up. But guys, that's what I want to encourage you with for this New Year's Day. I want you, the Word of God, to dwell richly in you. Let your speech, your conduct, your actions, watch your life and your doctrine. In doing so, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. God bless.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.